Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Pharisee card just got trumped. This is Wretched Radio. We've come up. Okay, when I say we, I mean Jimmy. Jimmy's come up with a new card that you can slap down to win virtually any argument. Typically, it's the Pharisee card. You know, I really don't think that you should be watching that type of entertainment. Pharisee. Boom. They win. Well, Jimmy, you've got yourself another card. Now, this isn't a new card.
No, it's not.
But I think we've just identified it, that it is definitely should be in the stack with the Pharisee card.
It should be.
What's the card?
Well, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with God.
Boom. Argument over.
What do you have to say to succeed?
I'm not telling you that. It's just God's word. You win. You got it right there. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio, hoping that you'll send wretched things to idea@wretched.org. You got yourself another card in that deck? I bet we could come up with 52.
Oh, I bet we could.
Easily. You can also text 877-282-2337. Did you see the ShamWow guy?
Oh, recently?
I tried to slow it down. That's what made me think of the ShamWow guy. Because normally when 877-282-2337, nobody ever calls because nobody can ever get the number down fast enough. I didn't want to be like that, but it made me think of the pitch guy, huh? Mr. ShamWow.
Right, with a good beard.
He's, no.
Is that a different guy?
Yeah, how many ShamWow guys have there been? I don't know how that torch gets passed. It's sort of like the papacy. It's a process. So the ShamWow guy, he's in Texas, and he just did an ad. I hope it isn't AI generated because it's the ShamWow guy. He's got the microphone, you know, the head thing on.
Yeah.
And he's talking like the ShamWow guy. About as conservative as you're going to get. It's just, it was like, whoa, pro-life. He talked about wokeness being anti-woke. And then there was a rainbow flag and he erased it like a ShamWow would. I think that's what a ShamWow does. Dude was super conservative. Now, he kind of took some pokes at his opponent, which I'm not sure. What?
Oh, you said his opponent.
Yeah.
So you already know he's running for office. You just said that, didn't you?
He's running for office. Didn't I mention that?
I think you did.
Campaign commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, he's running for whatever the office is. He, you know, kind of made fun of his opponent, which I think is out of bounds for Christians. We don't need to be doing that. But wow, ShamWow guy? Conservative? Would you have guessed that? Which is why be very careful about your belief in your own perception skills. You know, I have the gift of reading people. Not all the time. There are some cues that people give. There's no doubt about that. But we can't always read. I wouldn't have guessed the ShamWow guy was a conservative. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard you and other pastors that... and from other pastors, that you don't agree with the sinner's prayer. So what steps do you instruct a non-believer who, after hearing the gospel, responds as the rich man in Matthew 19?
Respond as the rich man.
They respond as the rich man. Oh,
they just say, I don't want to, right. I'm out of here?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out of there. You plead with them. You can grab them by the ankles. No, don't go. Please listen again. But if somebody rejects it, they reject it. The reason that I reject the sinner's prayer, it's not the idea that an individual doesn't need to pray. They do. And I don't even think it's terrible to coach somebody. Hey, if you're feeling convicted of your sins, and if you have now come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is your only hope because of what he did on a cross for you 2,000 years ago to save you from the wrath that is to come, then I'd encourage you to call out to God, talk to him. Call it prayer if you want to, but talk to God. You can tell him things like, you're sorry. Tell him you don't want to do that stuff anymore. Tell him that you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Tell him that you're so grateful that he hasn't crushed you and ground you to powder and sent you to hell for eternity. Did I mention eternity? That that you want to be in his family. Talk to God. Pour out your heart to God. Give them instructions, because sometimes they don't know exactly what to do. They maybe never prayed in their whole life. And if they even ask a question, well, what does that even look like? Talk to God like you're talking to me, because he's listening better than I am. So I don't have any issues with that. An individual, they should be calling out to God in repentance and faith. But the sinner's prayer is different. The sinner's prayer is, repeat these thoughts after me. That's a problem. Genuine repentance should be a heart that is broken and undone, and should pour itself out to God, even if to us it is unintelligible, because it's not about an articulation as much as it is a conclusion that I am so horrible and God is so good. I would love for him to have mercy on me. And even if that comes out in groans, God hears that. That's what he wants, not a repeat after me. And the illustration that I think still works 2 decades after I think I used to talk about this at the Way of the Master conferences. I guess that's what they were called, the Way of Deeper conference, about repentance and what it looks like and what it sounds like. And the sinner's prayer, which can be akin to, a man commits adultery against his wife. He tells his buddy, I'd like to live back in my house again. So the guy marches him up to his house, tells him to ring the doorbell. The wife comes to the door, and the buddy whispers into his ear, honey, say it. Say, honey. Honey, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm asking you into my heart. I'm asking you into my heart. I'd like to make you my wife. I'd like to make you my wife. I've made a decision about you. I'm trying to come up with all the evangelical cliches. I made a decision about you. The wife would go, what are you doing? And who's he? And why is he here? And why are you just parroting his words? How do you feel about it? That's why I reject the sinner's prayer. Has anybody ever been saved from the sinner's prayer? Of course, people have. But I wouldn't say it's because of the sinner's prayer. It would almost be in despite of the sinner's prayer. It's because God is regenerating them. And that's just kind of the way that it played out. But their heart was genuinely contrite. Their heart was genuinely broken. And they were repenting and putting their trust in Jesus Christ. So if you are one who believes you got saved when you said the sinner's prayer, I'm not going to argue with you or try to get you re-saved. But I don't think that therefore is an endorsement for the sinner's prayer. Jimmy, did I get to all of that?
I think you did.
Okay. There were kind of two parts of that. It was the first part was the sinner's prayer business. And what was the second, the ending of that?
Yeah. How do you instruct a non-believer who, after hearing the gospel, responds just as the rich man in Matthew 19?
Yeah. You know, you can't put a gun to their head. That's not our religion. Somebody else's religion. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, it seems that there is a movement in some mainstream churches with men smoking cigars and drinking whiskey, supposedly to the glory of God. Yeah. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I just think it's a horrible trend. That's what I think. If you have the liberty to do such things, you do them. But you have to know that there are people who are offended by those things. We're not supposed to boast in our liberty. We're supposed to use it judiciously so that we don't bring offense. We don't cause anybody to stumble. We don't water down somebody's convictions on these issues. It's not something that should be bragged about. If you believe that you have the liberty to do those things, you always must exercise your Christian liberty in light of others. And that means if your liberty causes somebody else to be bugged, we give it up. And if you're not willing to, it is an almost sure sign that your liberty has got control over you and not vice versa. I've seen this before. I will state very clearly, I do believe that you have the liberty to drink alcohol. Just so you don't get drunk, you can drink alcohol. Let's just stick with alcohol instead of cigarettes. So just, I believe you've got the liberty. But if I said to you, hey, bro, for my sake, would you please stop drinking for 60 days while we're on this missions trip? Would you please do that? If you're like, hey, I got the liberty, don't fear it. You're a Pharisee and I've got the liberty and I'm going to exercise my liberty. That would be a sign that you don't either understand Christian liberty or you're in bondage to your liberty, because we should be willing to give it up because it doesn't mean anything to us. It's just not that important. It's not a thing commanded or forbidden by God, and it doesn't control me. And if you're not willing to give up your liberty, I would simply encourage you, ask the question, is that a sign that the tail is wagging the dog here? And that maybe I'm actually in bondage to this sin? And this mingling of alcohol during worship services and smoking? I'm sorry, that has absolutely no place in a worship service. No place. Beer church is what they call them, I think. Is that trend ever going to die? God doesn't want beer being drunk in the church. How do I know? Because he didn't say he wanted it. We let him regulate worship. He's the one who tells us what elements are included in worship. And I've pretty much checked the entire Bible. I can't find a verse that says, during worship, I want you to have a martini. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means? Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that. Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought, it's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation. He has the right and the power
to govern all things according to His will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in His sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for His glory and the good of those who love Him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you say Tifa? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you heard us discussing a communist term that was coined to advance a really bad idea through sloganeering. It's called Tifa. It's a statement that is, it's got a lot of emotion packed into it. Whoa, yeah. And any disagreement makes you look like you're bad. For instance, love is love. Well, I'd like to talk to you about love is love. Don't you want people to love? Don't you believe in love? Bad guy. That would be a Tifa. Black Lives Matter. Regarding Black Lives Matter, there's don't you think that Black Lives Matter? Yeah, but see, the group that's behind them, and they do it all the time. Billie Eilish did it. Hillary Clinton does it. And now I'm at YouTube, and Jon Stewart does it. I was looking for the commercial by the ShamWow guy. And instead, and what I found as I'm looking for the ShamWow commercial is a Tifa. This is Jon Stewart. The video has been seen 3.7 million times 15 hours ago. There's actually two baked into one headline. See if you can hear them. Trump defends racist Obama meme. Trump defends racist Obama meme. No, he didn't defend the meme. He defended his innocence in posting the meme, claiming that he didn't watch the entire thing. And at the end, where a really racist image of Barack and the wife, Michelle Obama, Michelle Obama appeared at the end. He said, I didn't see it. Okay, believe him or not, he wasn't defending the racist meme. That's sloganeer. That's just misrepresentation. And I even look bad trying to defend Trump, defending himself, claiming that he didn't even watch it because you don't want to look racist, do you? But here's the second one. And MAGA rages over Bad Bunny's Spanish halftime show. No, we're not. We're raging because, first of all, the guy, it was feared, would be crude and crass and sexual. Oh, yeah, he was crude and crass and sexual, just as we were concerned about. That was the issue. And I also happen to think that it's fair that a halftime show at an American football game was done fully in Spanish, where the national language is English. I think that's a reasonable conversation to have. And I don't know that anybody's talking about this, but in my estimation, there was a clear woke agenda behind this. Not to mention all the sexual filth and all of those things that were going on. That's what we're raging against. Not over a Spanish halftime show, because what does that say? If you're opposed to Bad Bunny, you're racist. That is just really Tifa. That's what it is. Tifa. And now, Mr. ShamWow.
Hey, it's Vince.
I'm going to soak up the swamp
and pick up those liberal tears at the same time.
Vote for me so I can represent the ones that can't stand up for themselves.
Vote for ShamWow!
Paid for by Offer Vince ShamWow Shlomi for Congress.
Oh, I'm exhausted. You couldn't see that, but it was an ultrasound at the end. It appears the guy's at least pro-life and he understands what woke is. The ShamWow guy. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The ShamWow guy running for office. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, is there a danger in taking scripture out of context when making parallels?
Well, yeah, because you don't have a genuine parallel. If you're going to use this to say it's sort of like that, but it isn't, then yes, of course, then you're really misusing scripture. I would actually throw a real serious yellow flag at that. That would be not only not okay, that would be a great big no-no. Don't forget, Herman Hu, it is a 12, maybe 13 lesson course on biblical hermeneutics. It's free. I'm so delighted to tell you, it's absolutely free. It's at fortisplus.org. Everything there is free and you can access it and you can sharpen up for free. Did I mention it's free? Your hermeneutic skills, because it's free at fortisplus.org. I could say that like the ShamWow guy, but then I would be agitating even myself. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Last week, Todd, you shared your thoughts on biblical grounds for a divorce. I would love to hear your thoughts on the biblical remarriage.
Well, you're not going to get them. Because if I shared them, I'd wreck something. Why? Because this is a tailor-made conversation that has to take place. Do I believe that people who have been biblically divorced can get remarried? Yes, I do. Because the covenant has been biblically dissolved because of the behavior or the death of somebody. So yes, you can get remarried. Now, why do I not want to get into the specifics? Because almost certainly there would be somebody listening who has been divorced and remarried. And if I can't address every angle of this, I'm going to mislead or I'm going to hurt somebody. And I don't want to do either of those things. If you're in that situation, I would encourage first, individually, study your Bible on the subject of marriage and divorce. Study it for yourself. Then if you're concerned about your actions and if you did things right or not, please then meet with your pastor so you can walk through the details. There are so many scenarios involved. I'm sorry I can't do better for you, but I think I'm doing better for you because I think I would only wound you if I didn't zip it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ryan. Todd, if a person declines to agree to a medical procedure that could prolong life but be detrimental in other aspects, is that decision a sin?
Well, I need to know what those other things are. And it all, I think here's a rule. And again, this is kind of dicey territory because we're talking about end-of-life issues here. And making a determination about whether somebody lives or dies, a gazillion scenarios also, but I think I'm on safe footing by sharing this principle. There is a difference between doing something to intentionally take your life and doing something to expedite the end of life. That's the line. Furthermore, there's the issue of, is it, I think, generally accepted by the individuals that are circling the person's deathbed that God is clearly bringing their life to an end. Is that, it's like, yep, that's happening. Then I don't think that you need to feel bad about not doing procedures to extend something that is so immediate and inevitable. Again, details are going to be important in this. You got anything to add to that, Jimmy?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think there can be a distinction in the two, and it can be subtle, but you got to know what it is.
What's motivating an individual to not want to live anymore?
Yeah.
If it's something like, you know, if it's something, for instance, I've just given up, I don't have anything to live for anyway, I would talk that person out of it and try to encourage them to get that procedure. If it's something along the lines of, this procedure is going to extend my life by 2 weeks, and I'm going to be in a coma for 10 of those 14 days. You know, whatever the details are, there's a difference between expediting your death and not taking advantage of a medical procedure that could potentially prolong it. Is it an always crystal clear distinction between the two? No. And that is why you need a lot of wisdom. And I hope you would involve your pastor. Then this is exactly where pastors should shine and should be a part of your life. Does your pastor need to be involved in you making a decision about whether to get a two-door or a four-door? No, because every good pastor knows a four-door is obviously more practical and two-door indicates you're probably going through a midlife crisis. That's just not needed, that type of advice. You need it on the deep stuff, the profound stuff, the big stuff. Oh, Ben was teaching on Thursday nights, and he said, the bigger the issue, the bigger the consequences, the more time spent working through the biblical steps of making a decision. Because you don't need to labor, like, okay, do I get a sprinkle cone at Dairy Queen? Actually, they don't make sprinkle cone. Crunch coat is what they were called. I think the people were getting sick from them because the ice, it would deflect off of the ice cream and it would become a, they discontinue. The point is, do you get the caramel dip or do you get the chocolate dip? You don't need to walk through the biblical steps. Now, you're thinking about buying a Dairy Queen franchise? yeah, then you should take a whole lot more time. And by the way, if I could do a shout out, this, I think I've done this once before, but it's worth repeating. We tried to do something at Alpharetta Bible Church for our midweek Bible study, and I think it worked. We decided we wanted to do something that was not just, okay, everybody sit down, Bible study time. We wanted to cultivate fellowship. Come early, bring your own food, hang out, bring the kids. You can play the piano if you want to. Maybe we'll sing a song, maybe we won't. We'll take some prayer requests. We watched a video from Fortis Plus. Everything is free there, by the way. And then we have somebody lead a discussion about it. It has been magnificent. It has been so much fun and it's been so sweet. And we're praying for each other. We're getting to know each other more. We're talking about important subjects. Oh, it's just been, so if you're looking maybe for a way to kind of zip up your midweek or your Sunday school, this might be a way to do it. We've got all of these resources for free and all of the study guides are there. You don't even need to do no work to get ready. And it might just be something that energizes your midweek or your Sunday school. Did I mention it's free at fortisplus.org? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.